are lost in vain. Who's counting now these last remaining years? How many minutes do we have ahead? Wasted days, wasted days. We watch our lives just fade away.
So, hello, people of Medford, Somerville, and the surrounding area. You are back here for another week of Elephant Loaf. I am Luke Poutler, your host, and tonight we have a very special guest, as we always do. It is Francesca Guthrie here with me.
I am so happy to be back on Luke's radio show, and this one is cooler than ever.
Oh, well, thank you. Before I forget... you are listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. This is Elephant Loaf, a show where I just interview a different person that I know every week. And hopefully we'll interview someone that I don't know. But until then, I'll have to settle for good friends.
How are you going to find someone you don't know?
I have been working on that. And part of the reason why it hasn't happened yet is because... like, that's a real question, you know?
Typically, when I ride buses, I don't know the people on the bus.
Oh.
So, try that.
Go on a bus.
And say, who wants to try Elephant Loaf and see who responds?
Yes.
And I feel like you'd get some real characters.
I would agree.
You could go somewhere.
I especially if I say something to the effect, like, who wants to try my Elephant Loaf?
Oh,
you know,
You get a real crowd.
That would be a collection of people for sure.
They'd be lining up.
Mm-hmm. So, in tonight's episode of a bit that doesn't actually exist, but something that Nick and I mentioned last week of Under the Hood of Elephant Loaf. I just want to get this out there. I'm generally, when I've DJed for the past like semester and a half, I'm on a chair that slowly sinks as I sit in it, and then I have to kind of like do the thing where I hike my butt up and the scooch. I have to do the scooch and then pull the little chair lever, and then it'll like pneumatically raise or whatever.
Sure.
Probably not pneumatics.
I don't know if I know what that even means. So.
It's
mnemonics.
Mnemonics.
Like the devices that
yes.
you use to remember things in school.
That reminds me, you're really good at Spanish, right?
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Muy bien. Oh, did you use mnemonics in Spanish? Is that what?
No, I just like memorizing things made me think of language classes.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Well,
absolutely.
Mr. Japanese 3 here.
Luke
is also really good at Japanese, everyone listening. Just so you know, ask him a question in Japanese and he'll say something back in Japanese.
I can actually guarantee that much. If I am asked in Japanese, I will respond in Japanese.
All right.
It may not make sense. It is almost certainly not going to be grammatically correct.
Mm-hmm.
But do you want to jump into a question?
Let's jump into a question.
Okay. Do you have one that strikes your fancy right now, or do you care?
Oh, any order.
Oh, yeah.
Boy. Okay. Well, so one question. Do the listeners know about your coloring scheme?
So, like, no, it hasn't properly been explained.
Okay, so Luke is the most organized person in the world. Not to the point where it's, like, neurotic. Just like in a, oh my gosh, this is so pleasant. And he offered a list of questions that are categorized by category and also just colors. And so there is one color question that technically is about campus, but it's more about a tradition I have with someone on campus where we leave campus.
Yeah.
Can I answer that question?
Yeah. So from the category, which is about tough stuff and just kind of a given guest's life at Tufts and at college in general, this is question number 26 from our list, which is, do you have a favorite campus tradition? It could be school-wide, unique to a certain club or sport, or a weekly or semesterly event with friends.
There you go. So, last year, it just so happened that I had an extra ticket to this thing called So Far Sounds. Have we talked about this?
I think we've talked about this, but please remind me.
Okay, so listeners on the radio, you probably like music, which is why you're here. There is this organization, it's called So Far Sounds, and they work out of any city. So if you're listening in Detroit or perhaps Anchorage right now, you can do one of these, where basically you blindly buy tickets to a concert. So you'll say, hey, So Far Boston, I want to go to Roxbury Crossing on Saturday the 27th of September, and they will say, cool, we're not going to tell you the location of the event until the night of, and we also are not going to tell you who's performing there. So you show up and you don't know who's performing, and I have gone at the start of every semester just because it started out of a weird serendipitous, oh, I have a ticket and like we're not really friends, but do you want to come with my current housemate and one of my closest friends, Kelp, also known as Daniela. And we just went last week to a really great one in someone's backyard in Jamaica Plain. So it was great.
Very cool. So the bands themselves, are they bands we'd hear on the radio? Are they local bands, college bands?
Yeah, it's mostly local artists. The point of So Far is to kind of get smaller artists' music out there. So it's mostly like the last band we saw, they just graduated, all of them, from Berkeley, like student band vibes, but then the other two were like independent artists from sort of all over the place. So yeah, I have seen, though, like one of my favorite artists, Yeba, who's like really famous now, like she has a So Far from Manhattan from a couple years ago. So like sometimes they do throw big names in there, but most of the time it's like smaller folks. So highly recommend, it's very fun.
Heck yeah. And, yeah, so is there merch there? Is, like the concert venue itself, or is it people's backyards? Is it stages?
Yeah. It's a very wide range. So the first one we went to was, like, this bougie rooftop bar in the middle of the theater district.
Oh, very cool.
Which is really fun.
Yeah.
But then the last two we've been to, just because we kind of wanted to, you can sort of tell when it's residential when you're signing up. Actually, they say they classify into like residential or like indoor venue, whatever. So we like opted for a residential one this time because it feels very like, I don't know, feels very sort of bohemian college students showing up and sitting in the backyard of someone. And so it's a little bit more intimate, I think, in the, they're all very like small, like there are not a lot of people in the crowds at any of these shows, but it felt like a very personal experience, because like going to the bathroom, you literally like walk through this person's garage and into their home. Like, it's kind of funny, but it was very fun, so highly recommend.
Sweet,
good stuff.
Yeah,
lots of music around Boston, lots of music people, so it's a good place to do it.
Absolutely. I'm trying to think of like what else, because we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've got a million questions about it, but I'm just trying to let them kind of simmer back up and into my brain.
Come back around if you got any more.
All right. In the meantime, a question that we have shared recently, and I think I already know your answer to. But what is now my favorite hypothetical slash icebreaker?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Would you rather be able to fly, but only while screaming or otherwise making noise at the top of your lungs, or be invisible, but only while scatting smooth jazz at a moderate volume?
It's my life goal to be able to scat smooth jazz at a moderate volume. So to do it while invisible is like the most insane conception I think you could come up with. Did you think of this question, or is this something you found?
So, I had heard the fly but only while screaming at the top of your lungs thing before in a different would you rather.
Oh.
And then I was like, how do we take another superpower and give it something equally, like, I don't know, thematic?
Yeah. No, I love this question so much. Yes. I mean, flying would be cool, but, like, being invisible is objectively cooler than flying because you can, like, skeeve people out.
Yeah.
But you also can scat smooth jazz. So, like, yeah, double whammy.
So I would say at the conception of this question, I did not... It's not inherent to this question that you gain the ability to scat smooth jazz well. But you have added that, and I do enjoy that.
Well, a moderate volume. So if it's terrible, you're at least not so loud that everyone's like, who's, you know, doing a really bad job of scatting smooth jazz.
Mm-hmm.
So, I feel like those two things, in my head, sounded like they were related and sounded like a justification for being able to do it, but...
Gotcha. So, gotcha.
I don't know. Well, you try scatting smooth jazz right now.
I wouldn't want to on air, just because I think in the past I've like crashed web servers and things with people, like the quantity of people that want to listen to other than that, or like,
you totally would,
we could go back and forth trying to scat smooth jazz right now. Would you want to?
Yeah, I would. you want to kick us off?
How long are we going to go for?
Jazz is a very intuitive art form.
Yes.
I feel like you have to decide that.
Okay, cool. While I kind of stew on that and decide that in my head, as a jazz singer, have you ever... Because Francesco, by the way, is both a very good singer and has sung for the jazz ensemble, right?
Indeed.
Have you ever ventured into this territory before?
Actually, it's my goal of the year is to learn how to scat well. And I just got off of a 2-hour-long voice lesson with a woman who was basically working on it with me. Yeah.
That's really cool.
But I'm not good at it. That's why I'm trying to do it. It's so hard. Like, there's apparently a right way to do it. It feels like something that shouldn't be... There shouldn't be a right way to do it. Like, the whole point is you're just going, like, bebop, skeet up, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, there's a science behind it, and so I'm trying to... actually do it. But for our purposes, I will be a silly scatter, not like a...
Oh, okay. So you have intimidated me, but you've also interested me a lot.
Okay.
How much have you learned of the science behind it, or like...
Well, it's all based on the silly little music theory. The silly that little... people tell you is important in music.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still deciding. There's a weird level of like, okay, this should feel intuitive and this should feel like, you know, it flows from you and you're hearing the music, and but it also, there's like, there are ways that if you know music theory, it can make you do it well. And
okay.
You can do it safely. So I'm trying to do the latter, but it, you know, let's try it ourselves and see what happens.
Yeah.
If you want to. But also now I feel like I've established some ethos here, so I don't want to put you on the spot.
Boy, I'm gonna need a definition of ethos.
Like, you know, did you learn ethos, pathos, logos?
I did, yeah, but like, is that not an argumentative technique?
Yeah.
I learned them as argumentative techniques.
Yes, it's when you like establish your credibility.
Oh,
in some
okay.
place
yep.
That like makes the reader or the person think of what you're saying in a different light because they know you're coming from somewhere of credibility or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, for sure. Like, okay, I am sorry. I am very interested. I will.
We can
give a little bit of a. We'll scat. We'll get around to it. But, like, with drum solos and when I was briefly playing trombone mm-hmm. for a jazz group in, like, middle school, mm-hmm. You know, I learned that probably some very basic things, just like being in the right key helps, mm-hmm. you
yeah.
know, knowing maybe a series of two or three note kind of patterns that appear
yeah.
in the song help.
Yeah.
Are those same sorts of things in scat?
Yeah, totally. I mean, they talk about, like, there's sort of a formula when you're an instrumentalist of, like, okay, kind of like you're saying with the keys. These notes fall into the key that we're playing in, therefore they would, if you put them together in some order, it would probably be an improvisation that makes sense for the song that we're playing.
Yeah.
It's a lot different when you're a singer because you don't have, like, buttons to press. You have to just pull
mm-hmm.
notes out of the air. So
yeah.
What I've been working on is trying to train my ear better, which just means you can sort of pull those notes out and know where you are relative to the song. So I would say improvisation is the hardest to do as a singer well because you don't have those buttons. But I also think you can kind of make anything up, maybe more so than an instrumentalist could, and like add
yeah.
some like silly little words and things that make it more legal. I don't know. Some people gatekeep jazz a lot. I won't say I understand it all, but that's
jazz seems like a very strange thing to gatekeep
yeah.
to me because it's quite all over the place. I feel like by its
mm-hmm.
nature. But
it's interesting. There are two schools of thought. And there's one that it should be like very, you know, as we're saying, like whatever, like the spirit moves you to sing in this moment or
yeah.
sing or play or whatever. And it's like free form jazz,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. But then there's also like the kind of jazz that I do is more big band jazz, which is like a separate kind where it's like, okay, you have a pretty like legit script here for
mm-hmm.
what we're saying. And like going off the script is accepted in very certain contexts and when the director points to you and says you can. But again, if you're an instrumentalist, it's like, okay, you're going to solo, but you got to use this formula, like the pentatonic scales or like, you know, playing in the key. So jazz is like, it's funny to call all of this different kind of music the same thing because it really is quite a range. Like I don't think experimental freeform jazz is the same thing as what, like, I don't know, Ella Fitzgerald was singing in her time. It's
yeah.
different. But anyway, so like we, yeah.
Two follow-ups.
Yes.
Both, like, what you were just saying really reminds me of how I think about, like, school subjects where
mm.
when we were in, like, especially middle and elementary school, it's like, English
yeah.
was a subject,
yeah.
you know, science was one subject,
yeah.
math was one subject.
Totally.
And then as soon as you get into college, you're like, I have taken three or four semesters of, for me, chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them has looked radically different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the more I learn about, like, even, like, for me, mythology is, like, that's a thing, but there are archaeological parts of it. There's comparative mythology as one thing.
Mm.
And so jazz, very similar based on how you just described it, and probably all music genres, really.
Yeah, I think, like, I'm in this class right now that I love, and it's called History of African American Music with Professor Stephen Pennington. If anyone listening is a Tufts student, you have to take this class. It's phenomenal. And we've been working on, like, early 20th century emergence of jazz, and I think like something we've talked about a lot is how can you really define genres of music, especially something like jazz, when like the boundaries between what makes it what it is and the next genre over are so flexible. Like, think of, like, the blues and then also jazz. Really, like, so much of them are the same mm-hmm. thing, but we call them different things to place ourselves in groups. And I think that can... I think trying to classify the kind of music or art or whatever you're studying only goes so far. Because, like you're saying, like, yeah, you can take a class in chemistry that looks so different from another one, and you can specialize in one or the other and be totally oblivious to all of the things yeah. happening in the other realm of it. And so, I don't know. I think titles are helpful to a certain point. I think mm-hmm. in art, they're not always the most helpful, because they're often used to keep people out of doing
a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if this makes sense.
I'm following it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's maybe all I can offer you, but I'm following
great.
It.
That's okay. Yeah.
My second follow-up.
Yes.
Are there certain syllables that are better than others? Oh. Are there certain syllables that are not allowed?
No, nothing is not allowed.
Okay.
That's what's okay. so stressful. I think that's what makes scatting the hard... Okay, singing in general is a very vulnerable thing to do, I think, yep. because... As I said, humans don't have buttons, so sometimes, like, you just sound bad. And, like, even good singers sound bad sometimes. And, like, that's just life. And so to put yourself in front of a person and be like, let me do this vulnerable thing for you. And then, on another level, to go off any sort of script and start going, like, zoo-a, ba-dee-da, like, that's weird. Like, objectively, it's kind of strange.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole point of scatting is you're supposed to sound like an instrument. Like... singers oh. who are scatting are impersonating, like, oh, the trumpet doing, like, theoretically that's where it comes from. So, like, in terms of syllables, all of them are so scary to do, and that's, like, why I'm trying to push myself to learn how to do it, because it just, like, makes you take yourself less seriously, and it's like a get into the flow and la la la. But no, whatever syllables are fair game, any of them, any sounds that come out of you are jazz. That's my understanding.
Incredible. Well, yeah. What are you feeling? Are you feeling a trading scat right now? Are you feeling going to a song break right now? Or would you like to get into another question?
Let's scat. Let's scat for 10 seconds, and then we can go into another song.
Well, when you say let's scat for 10 seconds, is that we each do 10 seconds? We both do 10 seconds together?
Let's trade.
Okay.
We can try to do it together if that feels less...
I think we should trade.
Okay.
That's my thought.
My only rule is that you have to start.
Ski diddly wop a pa do wa pa da da do day diggy day day. I thank you for making me go first, because I don't think I could have followed that, quite frankly. So another thing that might just be syllables to people who are perhaps unfamiliar with where this comes from is the word Baba Yaga.
Yes.
Creeping by the bag of molly, loving now, but soon you're bound to fall.
And that was Baba Yaga by Philip Lassiter.
Yep.
Is that pronounced correctly?
Correctly. Talk about jazz, man.
Talk about jazz. How did you find the song? Because I've known you as liking this song for quite a while now.
How did I find this? I think it just came up on my Discover Weekly on Spotify, which I am such a proponent of. Do you listen to yours?
I do not, and I, just to get into a little of my own lore right now, it's because my family has all sorts of different music tastes, and we all use the same Spotify account. So
it might turn up some funky stuff. You should check it out.
It does. It does.
Oh gosh. Well, yeah. I don't know. I'm always in a jazz mood, so I guess this just came up and was like, Spotify was like, try this. And sometimes the Discover Weekly turns up some brilliant stuff. A lot of times it's kind of like it's either mid or kind of duds.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. The more that I interact with it, like I like certain songs that the Discover Weekly recommends to me, the better the algorithm gets.
Gotcha.
I guess makes sense.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, all of his stuff, Philip Lassiter, is amazing. Like, he has another song called Poof that slaps.
I'm gonna have to listen to Poof.
You should go listen to Poof.
You have mentioned that you want Philip to play in the U.S., right?
I do, so badly.
Where is Philip from?
I think he's from Germany.
Okay.
Or at least he spends a lot of time in Germany. And I look at all of his tour dates, and he's in various countries, like the Netherlands, and not here.
Yep.
So hopefully someday he'll come, but I don't know if he's... You listen to this, and it sounds like huge production, like very high production level.
Wild.
A lot of people involved. Like, if you listen across, this album is called Live in Love. Like, every artist or every song has a different grouping of, like, at the very least, singers, and there's a wide range, and so you would think that he's someone who would be, like, touring all over the place, because he has a lot of resources based on the quality of the music, but I don't know. He's not around these days, so maybe we just have to go to Germany or something.
Mm.
We honestly might.
It's a bit of a trip idea, honestly.
Ah.
Mm. I hear you can lay over in Iceland.
I was just thinking the same
thing. Yeah. All right. Do you have an announcement for us, or should we jump into a question?
Okay. Yeah, I think I have an announcement.
Okay.
Okay. Today you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You went to work and you did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Wow, that's a lot.
Actually, I have another one for you also, unless you just wanted that one.
If you want to keep going.
I do. Okay. Today, you ate Greek yogurt. You took the train. You planned a workout, and you skipped it. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a devastating earthquake. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Well, I'll need to check out emergency preparedness, other than that, I've never heard a PSA so accurately list all of the things that I did today.
That happens in a day. It starts with Greek yogurt.
It starts with the Greek yogurt.
Greek yogurt's equal tornado.
Okay.
Just so you know.
So I'm going to have to, next time I'm in a grocery store and I see Chobani just right there, you're telling me I need to hold back.
Indeed.
Okay.
Yeah.
FEMA.
This is from FEMA. Like,
yes.
It's not anything.
No. Absolutely. Don't absolutely. I'm just saying that the butterfly effect works in incredible ways.
It really does. Truly.
All right. So.
Oh, sorry.
No worries.
I moved your mic.
It's everything's okay. We're hanging in there.
Okay.
Just like my microphone right now. I've got a question that I'm curious why you picked this, because another under the hood of elephant loaf thing that I will probably remind people. Also, welcome back. I was slightly chastised recently by a listener of the show that I did not introduce myself or the show or the guest enough. So welcome back. This is Elephant Loaf. I interview a different person every week. This week we have on my good friend Francesca.
Hey, everyone.
And she picked a number of questions to be asked today, and one of them was, what's your favorite MBTA line and why?
Okay, I feel that the red line is hated on for literally no reason. I feel that the red line, maybe this is a me thing.
Yes.
I feel that the red line has been the setting of my coming of age movie.
Oh, wow.
And I don't appreciate all the hate that it gets. It's so easy, you hop on it.
Yes.
It takes you either to Alewife, probably not because it's too close, or it takes you into Boston. You can ride, do your little stops, look out the window, listen to your music, and you're crossing the bridge, and you see the water and pretty things, and then you're in a city. What is wrong with it?
People
think it's like custy or something, which I don't understand.
I'm going to need a definition on that word. I feel bad because it's going to be the second word of the night, but
No, there's no definition. It's just straight
of custy
vibes. What does it feel like to you?
Uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I think that's what I...
Yeah.
That's like what... Yeah.
Dusty.
Crusty without the
crusty
R.
Crusty and dusty.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think I'm there now.
Yeah.
So, favorite red line stop?
Ooh. You know, I will say, I think Central is a pretty underrated area.
All right.
Have you explored?
Someone that's never actually gotten off at Central.
Never?
I really don't think I have.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there are a few things that I really like in Cambridge. There, for one, one place that's on my bucket list in Central is this place. I don't remember what it's called, but it's like a salsa club where they teach you how to salsa dance.
Whoa!
Like salsa, bachata, like all of the, and then they take you into, and then it opens up into a bar, and you can like a Latin club, and you can, like, you know, do all your dances that you learned in your little class before, and you can get your little drinkies if you want to. So that's cool. There are a number of cool like nightlife places. In Central. There's another place that's like an arcade type.
Oh, neat. Yeah.
Yeah. Also great thrifting. There are a couple really good thrift stores. There's a what's that record store? The one that all the youngins like. It's Cheapo Records. There's a Cheapo Records there. And there's also Veggie Galaxy, which our vegan friends love. It's like a diner with like milkshakes and really cool stuff that's all vegan. So, just putting it out there, you should check out Central. Highly underrated.
Okay. I now know what I'm doing, not this weekend because I've already got plans, but the weekend after.
There you go.
Yeah.
See you in Central.
So it sounds like Central Stop itself is the the thing that sets the red line above all the other lines. But is there anything else
not
that specifically...
That's just like one little
just one.
Beautiful corner of it.
One of so many others.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have feelings about the red line stops? As someone who grew up in the area?
Yeah, as someone who grew up in the area, I would always drive into Alewife with friends from high school, park at Alewife, take the red line in, get off at Harvard, walk around, or Kendall and walk around, or by the promenade and walk around.
Yes.
Esplanade. That's the one. That's the one. Sorry.
Correct yourself.
I just did.
Good job.
Gold star. I quite like the red line. I really do. Yeah. And I know that there are definitely some people that give it a fair amount of hate, especially at Tufts, which like I don't understand because until we've got the green line,
Exactly. Don't bite the hand that feeds you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It is carrying us on its back into Boston all of the time. And so I don't really get that.
And I understand the T has its problems. It did catch on fire. That was not cute. And then they shut it down for a month. But that was the orange line. That's not us.
That's not us.
Yeah.
Hey, that's not us. I also want to... Maybe I make this joke too much, but the MBTA, very efficient in their handling of the orange line fire.
Oh,
no
for
one
sure.
put it out. So no one spent time on it.
So,
yeah.
Wow.
Thanks. Thank you for that. Thank you. Feeling very supported in this moment. Not at all as a dig back at you or anything, but Francesca, this is another question that you chose for tonight. This is number 13 from our section on music, which is, what are your guilty pleasure listens?
I'll say it right here, put me on the record, Meghan Trainor bops! Her music is good!
I now remember this conversation that we had. Okay, yeah, no, you've made your thesis, you've made your argument, I'm gonna need to see some evidence.
The evidence, okay,
yes.
So picture this. You're a young... probably female.
Okay.
Who is in her little cute like Lululemon leggings or something.
Absolutely.
And you're jogging around on the little treadmill at Tisch Gym that's situated right in front of the windows where you just get to peep stalk everyone walking by.
Okay, I am gonna have to increase the age of this young female that I was 8, you know?
No.
And so I'm
you're like 20.
Gotcha.
You're a 20-year-old female.
Ratcheted hopefully, that age up.
Hopefully for you that's still young. Hopefully you don't feel old.
No, that is young. No. That is, I just, you started with,
a young, no.
So
no.
Maybe I went to,
oh, no.
That's on me.
Meghan Trainor's for the girlies, meaning young women.
Yeah.
Not like
all right.
Actual girlies. Okay. You have some gripe with some man who did you wrong. And
yes.
You have your little headphones blasting the song No by Meghan Trainor.
Yes.
Nah to the to the no, no, no. Okay. First of all, her beats. Dun, 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 dun. You want to run.
Yeah.
You want to dance. You want to shake your tail feathers.
Mm-hmm.
And she sings some pretty, it's like a cringy approach to feminism in my opinion. But the kind that when you have endorphins running through you is like candy. It is sugar to your veins and existence. And I will stand by it. She's got some bangers.
As you should.
That
you've supplied excellent evidence.
Thank you.
I am now wholeheartedly in support of your point.
Thank you. Thank you. Everyone go listen to Meghan Trainor. She deserves more attention, I think.
All right.
She would probably feel that way. Right?
I don't know. Who am I to know?
Tough to be famous.
I think it is tough to be famous.
Would you be famous if you could?
Mm. I would be famous in, I would enjoy being famous in the way that an author is famous, where you're famous for a thing that you did instead of how you look or just who you are.
Yes.
And there is a selection of people that know that, like, that might recognize you, but you're not in danger of ever having the paparazzi, right?
Yes. Yes. That's the correct answer. Have you ever done the 36 questions that lead to love?
I have. I've done so on numerous occasions and enjoyed it every time.
So is this usually, you know how that's one of the questions?
Yeah, that's, I think, one of the first couple.
Yeah, I think it's,
I think it could be the first one.
It might be the first one.
Is, do you have a different answer? You were very vocally supportive of my answer. Is yours similar? Or?
My answer is, okay, picture this. You're in high school in your U.S. history class.
Okay.
The teacher is out for the day.
So Francesca, thank you for giving me a very solid period that I'm in. So now, versus last time, the age was kind of off. Now tuned in. Okay?
Now you're high school history. I'll even give you an age. You're 16.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay, I'm there.
You're there. You're sitting in the classroom with the little desks.
Slightly bored, looking out the window. There are trees. It's like a whole thing.
Yeah. Abe Lincoln on the wall.
Totally.
So, sub comes in and is like, ah, guys, obviously I'm not your teacher. But you insert teacher name here, left me this little silly little like Ken Burns thing that I'm gonna put on for you guys to watch.
Yep.
It's like about the Transcontinental Railroad.
Yeah.
And there's some in this video mousy woman sitting in her library who like knows a lot about some niche subject of the Transcontinental Railroad. And they like nobody knows who she is, but she's in her little library at home, and she is so passionate about what she's doing, and she's the one. She's the one that you interview about, like the rats that ran through the tracks on the railroad.
Okay.
And that is who I want to be. I want to be someone who's not like famous, but who's like recognized in specific circles as for being like, good at what she does.
The like topic master.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of like I had a better word somewhere in my head and it left. Yeah. But like
Not for anything that's like mainstream and cool, but like your own my passion studying this thing or like I don't know, finding this thing.
Okay. In like a someone who is in charge of a local library and just happens to know a lot about a certain thing kind of way? Or in like a, like I'm a researcher, it's just I'm only ever interviewed for documentaries.
Somewhere in between.
Okay.
I'm not even saying like I want to be like an academically recognized person. I'm just saying that like in my little niche and my bubble of something that I have found solely for myself, I am, I have advanced to the point where people could appreciate what I've done.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I am...
Maybe it'll be at scouting.
I think I do. I was going to say, I think that...
Maybe that'll be it someday.
I think 20 years from now, more or less, depending on how you feel, I'm going to be a substitute teacher walking into a classroom saying, hi guys, obviously I'm not insert teacher name here, but thank you guys for all not skipping music class. I've got this really cool... I don't know why it's still a VCR, but I've got this really cool VCR to play for you.
Definitely VCR.
Yeah. I don't know. So. It just feels right, you know?
Definitely.
That's, people don't get nostalgic enough for VCRs.
Facts. I haven't watched a good VCR.
Dora?
Something or other. Yeah. Well, definitely not that. In a while. Maybe we should.
Pokemon movie.
Oh my gosh. Have you seen Pokemon Spoof Spoof? You know that video on YouTube?
I have not seen Pokemon Spoof Spoof.
I wish we could put this on for your viewers. Everyone go Google Pokemon Spoof Spoof. It's the funniest video you'll ever see. It was the first video I ever saw on YouTube, and I rewatched it again today, and it made me so happy. And I think you would love it.
Oh, incredible. I will check that out after the show.
Thank you. We've covered such a range of important topics today.
Yeah. No, I mean, precisely. I stand by that is the point of this show.
Yeah. It's doing its job.
We have about 10 minutes of our programming left.
Yes.
We can do some more music. I think we've got at least like one question left.
Let's do some music.
Let's do some music.
Question maybe?
Sounds perfect.
Amazing.
Do you have a preferred song that to go into now?
Ooh, can I?
Yeah, you can take a little bit of a look.
Take a little gander here at what we got going on.
In the meantime, I am going to describe the wall graffiti in here, because there's a lot of it. Oh, unless you've already made a decision.
No, I actually want to hear your description.
All right, so picture a spike about the size, like a cone, uh-huh, about the size of a skyscraper.
Okay. Is it orange?
It's not. It's dark gray.
Oh.
And kind of gently wrapped around it, kind of hard to tell if this is like a Godzilla scale snake,
okay,
or like just an interesting architectural choice,
oh,
is this like almost like a snake's wrapped around, or like one big thick vine,
oh,
going up the side of this cone that is otherwise in the middle of a perfectly normal city.
Okay, so that's,
yeah,
the graffiti.
That's the graffiti that is in
what
this
does
room.
What does it mean?
I think to me it symbolizes the weirdness of some syllables that people use when they scat among,
oh,
a field of other buildings representing,
oh,
perfectly normal syllables.
This guy,
yep,
he's on to something.
And, yeah. We're
all
going,
right,
into a song. What song are we going into?
Let's go into I Wish by Stevie Wonder.
Incredible.
Enjoy. We'll be right back.
And we are back on air. I'm Luke. I am here hosting this crazy weird show called Elephant Love. I am here with my good friend Francesca.
Hello, Luke.
Hi, we've been having an interview. We've been passing some questions back and forth, and I'm going to hear a question that I didn't know was happening tonight.
Well, okay, the last question
yes.
that I had initially picked was, what is a course or professor that you've really enjoyed? And I just feel like that's, I feel like that's too chump to end the evening.
Okay.
So this is a question that is, this is like kind of deep and philosophical.
Perfect.
So like, to, you know, we'll just equalize the vibes right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So someone recently asked me my opinion on this, and we had very different thoughts. And I was in a room of five people, and out of the five people, I was the only one who thought what I think. And
okay.
I'm not going to say what I think. I'm going to ask you, and then you can tell me
what. Gotcha.
Okay, so the question is, if someone said to you, when I'm with you, I feel like I'm alone, would you take that as a compliment, or, bad?
I think initial reactionary answer to that is bad.
Mm.
But I think taking a second to think about it, I see these quotes online that are like, the friends that I like the most are the people that I can just do nothing with.
Mm-hmm.
And where, like, I'm doing laundry while talking to them,
mm-hmm.
and that's a fun thing for us to hang out and do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think as soon as I'm given the opportunity to think about it for more than a quarter of a second, I would take that as a compliment.
I think it's different, though.
It also depends on the tone in which it's set.
True. I tone, context, tone, everything.
Yes.
I do think, though, like, it's different than being a friend that you can do laundry around and chat with. I think it's like, I literally feel like there is nobody else. Well, okay, so I initially heard this and I thought it was the most beautiful thing ever. Like, to feel like you can be so alone, meaning like one with your thoughts. There's no, you're not like on, you're not, I don't know. You don't feel like you have to think about the things that you're saying or
yep.
doing or whatever. I think that's like a really rare thing to be able to find in a relationship with a person, anyone. So I initially was like, how could you think that's like, why initially did you feel like it was a painful thing for someone to say?
So I would say the other quote that has I've been thinking about a lot recently in terms of like friendships is I forget where I came across this, but it was the idea that the people who are the most valuable friends to you are the people that can entertain you. And like in that you can be whoever you want for anyone else, but the people who are just naturally themselves and brighten your day are the people that are like that you should keep in your life.
Interesting. So entertain not meaning like deliberately, I'm trying
not
to.
Meaning deliberately,
oh.
but meaning like the people who just like as a function of who they are bring you joy.
Juice you up.
Alright. And so I think like with that lens and hearing when I'm with you, I feel like I'm alone.
Okay.
I can see it as like a, like you add nothing to this equation.
Yeah,
you know,
that
like,
makes a lot of sense.
Like I see that as yeah. being the most critical reading of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And yeah, when I was in the minority of feeling like that was a beautiful, someone said that like, this is the question that determines if you're an introvert or an extrovert.
Ooh, interesting.
And I call myself an introvert.
Very interesting.
So
you're, in my opinion, your decision makes, or your reading of this
makes
statement
sense.
Makes sense with that.
Are you an extrovert?
I've given up trying to find out.
Yeah, nobody's one or the other.
There was a time where I knew I was an extrovert.
Mm-hmm.
COVID happened. I spent a lot of time alone. And I, especially in college, have just kind of felt more awkward around especially large groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so have definitely swung back the other way, but it depends on the situation.
I think there's a misconception that being an introvert means you have a disdain for spending time with other people. I think it means you get your energy and where you recharge is when you, at least the way that I read it and the way
yeah.
that I think I'm an introvert is you come back to yourself when you're alone and when you have your time to like, you know, I don't know, namaste, do whatever you do when you're
awesome.
In your alone time. So because my brother is someone who like cannot not be around other people. Well, he can be by himself. He's great at being solo,
mm-hmm.
but he gets his energy and he feels like his best self and like he's most able to do his mission in life if by being around other people. And I'm not that way. So that's, I don't know. Maybe I'm just defining myself as a foil character to someone else and that's the problem. But I don't know how we got here.
To quote you from earlier in the night, like, yes. Titles sometimes are helpful, but sometimes they aren't.
Wow. Yeah. Full circle.
Full circle moment.
There.
Is there anything else you want to leave us on tonight as we go into our last song?
Next, anytime Luke has a show, he hates it when people call in because it makes things complicated. However, if you call in and scat smooth jazz, I will personally come to wherever you are and shake your hand and tell you you did good. That's it.
That's
my.
That's
comment.
It.
That's my closing.
With
comment.
That, this has been Elephant Loaf. I'm Luke. This week I interviewed Francesca. Woo. It was a lovely time. And you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Here is our last song, Ollie Muir featuring Flo Rida, woo, to take us out. You're a troublemaker. You're a troublemaker. Mm.
You ain't nothing but a troublemaker, girl. You had me hooked again from the minute you sat down. The way you bite your lip got my head spinning around. After a drink or two, I was putty in your hands. I don't know if I'll have the strength to stand. Oh, oh. Trouble, troublemaker, yeah, that's your middle name. Oh, oh. I know you're no good, but you're stuck in my brain. And I wanna know. Troublemaker, but damn girl, it's like I love the trouble, and I can't even explain why. Why does it?